Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the March 30th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the fourth Sunday in Lent. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. God is a shepherding God. Our God knows us by name. Our God will never stop searching for us. So if we feel lost, then know that God the shepherd is seeking us. If we feel found, know that the shepherd will never leave. This is the promise of Scripture. This is the promise of God's love. Let us worship our good shepherd. Next is the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Next is the hymn, Amazing Grace.
Bye.
I'm reading Psalm 32 this morning, and the version I am reading from is the Living Bible, so it has a little different spin to it. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 506. Listen now to what the Spirit is saying to us. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief for those that have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted my sins to you and stopped trying to hide from them from you. And I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my sin is gone. Now, I say to each believer should confess his sins to God when he is aware of them, while there is still time to be forgiven. Judgment will not touch him if he does. You are my hiding place from every storm of life. You even keep me from getting into trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but abiding love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in him, all those who are his, and shout for joy, all those who try to obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners, he eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This is the word of the Lord. So on this fourth Sunday of Lent, we turn to Luke chapter 15, and here, focusing in on the preaching series I've been doing, Everything in Between, we focus on found and lost. By the way, this is one of my favorite parables, the lost sheep. And for us in chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke, it's the lead story. It's the lead story that here, devoted in this chapter, it's all devoted to things being lost, and whether it's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then in the grand finale, a lost son, the prodigal. This whole chapter is devoted to lostness. This picture that I flash before you here is done in the late 1800s by Alford Sword. It's his most famous painting, but it gives us a glimpse of the shepherd who goes searching for the lost sheep. And where does this shepherd find this sheep lost? On the side of a cliff. And the shepherd climbs down and reaches out to grab hold of the sheep to bring it to safety. It would be tempting to read these stories, especially this one about the sheep, and walk away thinking to ourselves, we were once lost, but now we're found. And therefore, we should devote our lives to going out and saving the lost. It sounds noble. It sounds right. But I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at in telling this story. In telling any of the parables that we read of Jesus, he invites us to participate. He invites us that in our listening that we find ourselves somewhere in the telling of the story. And then we, in our own minds, our own hearts, we participate in that. There was a while back that I headed to the hospital to visit a member of the church. Not this church, but another church. And just as I got to the hospital, my first thing was to urgently search for a restroom. I found the nearest one and got in there, settled down. And I noticed there in the hinge of the doorway, there was a piece of paper showing, folded up and placed very carefully. And as I looked at it at eye level, it was a religious tract folded and placed there in the restroom. And there in bold print, it said, "Are you lost?" And I thought to myself, "No, I'm not lost. I'm exactly where I need to be. Thank you very much. I am not lost." Till later when looking for my car. And that was a trip to OHSU and how easily it is to get lost at Oregon Health and Science Hospital. Good grief. Now, as I looked at that track, I understood the intent of the person having a captive audience to find this track and read it. A lot of us have been shaped in this world to see it in a binary fashion. The lost and the saved. And naturally, we believe our role as being saved persons to seek after the lost. But you know what? That's not our role. In fact, it's dangerous even to think of that way. Luke sets the stage for this parable by saying, "Now the tax collectors and sinners are all gathered round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered to themselves, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Now there is division. And the religious folks had drawn that line. You're in and you're out. Rather, I should say it more clearly. We're in and you're out. Us and them. Clean, unclean. Found and lost. But you know what? We do it too. We do it too. And we've been trained to do this. Religiously trained, and so we divide. We divide by denomination. We are Presbyterians. Well, they're Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians. Oh, they're Baptists. On the way in, I get a display of the reader boards as I come in and think, okay, we're learning about the flood there and at the Warren Baptist Church. And here we're seeing that God loves all. And here, well, we're seeing that Lent is just a practice for Easter. So y'all come. We divide by denomination. We divide by doctrine, even by worship style. Ever drive through a town where every corner there's a church there located? And so you come to that four-way stop sign, and on all four corners there's a church. And off to your left, there's the First Bible Church. And then straight ahead of you, and at diagonals, there's God's Word Bible Church. And then off to your right, there's True Believers Bible Church. And then next to it, across the street, is True Believers that believe the Bible Church. In all of these titles, one word changed. And boom, it's a new church, a new division. We even divide over who we think deserves to be in our church. What would happen if those people came here? You know what I mean. Whoever it is you're thinking of in your mind right now, if those people came here, and that's exactly where Jesus starts. He's not preaching to sinners in this moment. He's responding to the religious people muttering under their breath. He gathers with sinners. He even eats with them. And so Jesus tells a story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Let's be real. We're not shepherds. Most of us have never gotten closer to being a shepherd than in a Christmas pageant where we put on a robe and we stand in line where we have cardboard cutouts of sheep, and that's as close as we get holding that staff, wearing our bathrobe in the Christmas pageant for this year. But in this question, we know this is nuts. If you've got 100 sheep and one goes missing, do you leave the 99 vulnerable in the wilderness to find that one? That's not good business. That's not safe, and that's not even logical. I'm going to put it in youth group terms. Okay? You've got 100 junior high kids on a trip to downtown Portland. And there you are in the square with your 100 kids, except when you do a head count, you're missing one. Do you leave 99 junior high kids there in the square of downtown Portland to go find the lost one? I don't think so. I remember the moment I realized that I'd aged out. I was too old to lead the youth group. You see, at the church I was serving at the time as a youth minister, an aging youth minister, I'll put it that way. You notice I didn't use the O word. No. Don't use that word. I noticed that I was aging. You see, in a church lockdown where you invited the kids to come to church, and then once you're in the church, you have these program of things you're going to be doing all into the night, all into the early morning, right to the next day when you send them home and you can go to sleep. Except that once we brought those 99 junior high kids into the church, locked the doors, started our program, I'll confess it. And Lent is a good time for confession. I'll confess it, that I took a little nap. Yes, I fell asleep. And while I napped, those junior high kids had a squirt gun fight in the sanctuary. It was a nightmare. And when I was asked by the church board of my leadership at that time, I again posed the idea that I had only taken a short nap when things got out of hand. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it even to today. It was a short nap. So when Jesus says, wouldn't you leave the 99 and go after the one? The crowd listening probably laughed. That is ridiculous, Jesus. Yeah, on Family Feud. Survey says no. You don't go after the one. No, Jesus, no shepherd in his right mind would do that. And that's the point. Jesus tells a story that doesn't make sense to us because God doesn't make sense to us. As we find in Isaiah chapter 55, my ways are not your ways, God says. We don't understand God. God's logic is grace. God's mathematics doesn't add up for us. God risks everything for the one. So Jesus telling this parable puts us face to face with ourselves. Because we live in a world that writes off the one person, the one group, the one culture. One is expendable for the sake of the many. We divide to conquer. We divide to control. We divide to deport. We divide to keep ourselves feeling secure and feeling superior. But then Jesus tells this parable to confront us with that kind of thinking. Because he's saying to us, in God's kingdom, not one is expendable. And here's where it gets personal. That at the end of the story, there's rejoicing over the one that was lost and then found. More rejoicing than over the 99 who didn't need to be found. And so it begs the question, who is really lost in this story? Who is really lost? Is it the tax collectors and sinners who are sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him tell this story? Is it the religious folks standing outside, grumbling about who's in and who's out? So this parable, I make the point and believe that it isn't about an evangelistic strategy. It's about heart transformation. It's a call to stop dividing people into the found and the lost, the worthy and the unworthy. It's a call to see others and true ourselves as well. Through the eyes of a God who doesn't cut losses, but searches for the one until the one is found. So where do you find yourself in this story? Are you the lost sheep on the cliff's edge and the shepherd comes to find you there to bring you to safety? Are you the muttering Pharisees? Are you a part of the 99 who are safe? Do you see yourself in need of a heart transformation? Are you ready to see the world with the heart of a shepherd, where no one is expendable and everyone, each one matters? Because in the end, it's not about who is lost. It's about who's willing to rejoice when grace finds someone who was lost.
Next is the hymn, On Angels' Wings.
thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Next is the hymn, When the Poor Ones.
Peace.